Hey, hey, and welcome to this, the 4D Recruitment Method podcast with me, Jeremy Snell. Join me as we unpack ideas, tactics, and processes to help you grow your business. Look, I realize the title of this particular show. You know, and I know that great recruiters don't hatch out of eggs. It is a fact. I don't believe that there is anyone who is working in recruitment who is either amphibian or reptile. Actually, change that. Maybe there is. But hey, it hasn't been proved, right? This lizard people theory, I'm not sure it carries a lot of weight, to be honest. But look, I'm sidetracking already. We're now looking at egg-laying creatures rather than where do great recruiters come from. So, great recruiters do not hatch out of eggs. They are developed, either self-developed or developed by good quality managers who know how to be able to coach, or they are developed by environment because they joined the right agency with the right culture at the right time based upon what they need in their life. And despite everything that's going on around them, they turn into great recruiters. And I've worked with conservative estimate, 12,000 recruiters in my time as a learning and development professional. And I've seen what good looks like. I've seen some of the struggles that people go through on that journey to getting good. I've seen the things that work. And I've seen too frequently the things that don't. So I wanted to share with you my thoughts on where great recruiters come from and a little bit more about the impact that great recruiters can have on a business and others around them, and to help you as a recruiter, as a business owner, to be able to nurture and to develop great recruiters consistently in your business and within yourself. Because one of the challenges, right, when you truly have great recruiters in your business and you bring in new people, and new people join, and they're looking at the great recruiters as the role models of greatness. Sometimes they emulate what they're doing now rather than emulating what they did in their first week. So it's really important that you are, as you are growing your business and you are bringing in new hires with the goal of developing them into good to great recruiters, that they recognize the hard yards that somebody has had to go through at the very early stages of their career. Like when you're working with a recruiter and they've been doing the job for 4 or 5 years and they're achieving really good results, new people don't recognize that that person had a time in their life where they'd never been a recruiter. That person had a time in their life where they hadn't used the phone to be able to engage with a stranger, to be able to get them to work with them as a client or to be able to headhunt them as a candidate. They just look at what they're doing now and they get this full sense of perception that this person is highly talented. And when they start to say, oh, I'll never be that talented, they miss all of the things that at the very beginning actually create greatness in recruitment. And I think that there are five attributes that when people bring them to the early stages of their career in recruitment, create the foundation for success. So when you are hiring people to join your business, particularly if you are hiring people who have little to no experience, these are the five attributes that I would be looking for in people, because I feel that these are the foundation blocks that will help you to be able to develop them to become good recruiters. So these five foundation blocks, rather than looking for talented individuals or those personalities that you feel are going to make it in recruitment, rather than allowing your unconscious bias to kick in and for you to reject people because they remind you of somebody else who worked in the business, or to hire people because they remind you of somebody else who'd worked in the business, including maybe yourself, and you see yourself in them. Let's go out and find these five attributes. And when we find these five attributes and we start to give people a clear roadmap and a pathway to success with good quality structure, with good quality process, and with embedded systems, it is these five things that will harness alongside structure, process, and system to help them to be consistently successful. So the attributes that I would be looking for, people, number one on my list is curiosity. We cannot underestimate how important curiosity is. You know yourself, the quality of the questions that you ask, your genuine interest in the other person, your willingness to be able to lift up stones to see what's underneath it, your willingness to be able to ask more questions that revolve around understanding why, not just what. How you go about professionally interrogating prospects and candidates so that it feels like an engaging conversation whilst at the same time you're on a journey of discovery so that they feel more and more understood. And as they feel more and more understood and they feel seen, it develops this thing called trust. So when you hire people who have that natural ability to be able to deploy curiosity, you know, we all start in life with curiosity. Just some of us lose it over time. I saw something recently that said that the average four-year-old, during the course of a day, asks 200 questions. That is a lot of questions to ask in a day. Maybe we should hire more four-year-olds, because by the time they become a teenager, the number of questions that they ask in a day drops to less than 20. And as they reach adulthood, the average number of questions that get asked in a day is less than 30. And I realise that we're talking about the average human being, and recruiters are these superpowered individuals who are asking far more questions than anyone else. But because we all have this innate curiosity, when we hire people who still hold on to it, when we hire people who give themselves permission to be able to release it by asking good questions, and we start to point that with structure at the individuals that we would like to engage with as prospect clients and as prospect candidates, your recruiter's own competence kicks in and they start to be able to ask good questions to seek understanding. And as they seek that understanding and they build the level of trust that's required with that audience, it helps them on their journey to getting good. The second thing that they need is discipline. And discipline is so important when we're asking people to do things that on occasion are mundane and to do them with repetition. When we hire people with discipline, and this is where I feel some recruitment business owners get it wrong, but right at the same time. They have this, in my opinion, false perception that hiring, for example, sports people, because they become successful, it's because of their competitive nature. I don't believe it's their competitiveness that actually is being harnessed in the early stages of recruitment. I believe it's discipline. You can hire sports people and they fail. You can hire sports people and they succeed. The ones who succeed are the ones who were the individuals who had to work hard to get good at their sport. When you hire people who succeed from sport, it is the ones who were diligent enough on the practice field to allow themselves to get good so that when it was game time, they dropped to the level of their training. And not all sports people are willing to do that. You'll encounter people who can play sport at a relatively high level, but don't really rock up for practice, don't have a very strong ethic for the discipline, and what they rely on is flair. And there are recruiters who do the same thing. They don't have a great deal of discipline. They don't have a great deal of structure in what they do, so they rely on flair. And when they rely on flair, their mood will often drive their results rather than the systems and the processes that they follow. So I would prefer that we focused on those who have performed in a sporting environment at a relatively high level to assess the quality of their discipline, the practice routines, what it actually took for them to get good. And when we take that and we start to look for other backgrounds that people could come from that require discipline, thoughts naturally for me turn to music, and I think about good quality musicians. I think about this person who I worked with as a trainee who became a very high performing consultant who had previously been a professional musician playing the trombone. And he knew how important it was to practice with diligence his scales, practicing so much to be able to ensure that they were ingrained in him so that when it was time to perform, he was able to unconsciously use all of those routines, scales, and disciplines to be able to ensure that he was performing to the highest standard. Discipline. Discipline helps us to be able to do the routine things that are the mundane tasks that become the foundation of greatness. And when you hire people who are curious and disciplined, it really starts to create a platform for rapid acceleration to greatness. Third on my list is urgency. And when we look for people who have a natural sense of urgency, I label that as being TNT in attitude. Today, not tomorrow. Wanting to get things achieved, wanting to get things done, having some kind of pace, having an expectation that they're going to dictate the speed at which things happen. And I appreciate it's a balance, right? We do need an element of patience, but it's urgency. Urgency is often the thing that I see is lacking that stops some people from succeeding. And then when we combine with those three things, the last two, good quality emotional intelligence, that ability to be able to read others, and the most important contributory component in emotional intelligence, it's about self-awareness. Being aware of who you are, the impact that you have on other people, where your strengths lie, where there are opportunities for you to be able to grow and develop, and how you harness those to help you to become, in the future, a master communicator. And then last on my list is goal orientation. Those who are able to set themselves goals, and they can set themselves goals and they can track their progress to achieving those goals. When you go out and you are hiring people, little to no recruitment experience, and you hire against those five core competencies, curiosity, discipline, urgency, emotional intelligence, and goal orientation, you are going to identify people who bring all of the contributory components that when they are harnessed with good process and they are harnessed with good structure, you just need to get out of their way and let them run at it. And then the curious thing about getting great at recruitment is once we've deployed those five competencies, once we've started to really demonstrate our ability to be able to follow process and structure, new competencies develop, new competencies become the framework to help us to move from being good to becoming great. And four competencies that become more and more important: organization, the ability to be able to do planning, to be able to ensure that you know what your day looks like before it begins. You know, that moment that people get out of bed and they go through their morning routine, and at whatever time work commences, whether that is working from home and opening up the laptop, or it's getting on the train and getting into work, that awareness that they have 5 minutes before work begins. What actually are my goals and objectives for today? What do I need to make sure that I'm making happening? What do I need to be celebrating at the end of today that would be my benchmark of a good day? Like those people who are organized enough to be able to know, what is the mission for the day? What is the structure that I'm going to be following? What do I need to make sure that I get done as my non-negotiables? That level of organization, delivered with consistency, helps people to be able to keep on moving forwards and improving and getting better. It's these competencies that start to be able to extend someone's capability in recruitment to achieve greatness. And there are so many people who work in recruitment who think they've got like 4 years experience, when in reality they've got 4 times 1 year's experience, because they've not really pushed the envelope at all. They haven't really got better at anything, particularly with discipline. They've just continued to maintain a certain standard that is probably linked to the things that they did at the very beginning that people would call the basics. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? There is nothing wrong with achieving above averageness and being able to deliver a number consistently over a 4 year period. It doesn't automatically mean that you have 4 years experience until you start to develop some of those new competencies that help you to be able to drive higher performance and increase quality of results, such as organization. And in addition to that, improving your influence skills, whether that is in your negotiations, it is in your sales outreach that is digital, it is in your sales outreach that is using the phone, the quality of your influence skills will help you to be able to win better quality clients, higher ticket paying customers, and start to engage with an audience of candidates who were typically out of reach before, because you're now starting to dig deeper and tap further into a marketplace to be able to build a customer base of candidates who potentially aren't talking to your competitors. And then the last two on the list, focus. When you've got focus and you know what you need to do, it's that ability to be able to remove all distractions. One of the biggest inhibitors of achieving greatness in those recruiters who've proven that they can do deals, make placements, whatever your description is for that thing, one of the biggest weaknesses is distraction. Being distracted at the wrong time from the task at hand, which means that it takes far longer to achieve a set of outcomes. So it might take 4 hours to achieve something that somebody with focus could get done in 90 minutes. And those people start to claim that what they need is better time management. They feel that there isn't enough hours in the day. Now that they've got 10 buying clients, now that they've got all of these interviews being arranged, now that they've got all of these contractors out working, time is their biggest enemy. And it's not really true, because great recruiters have 24 hours in a day. Good recruiters have 24 hours in a day. Shit recruiters have 24 hours in a day. Time isn't the differentiator. The differentiator is focus. Your ability to be able to focus on the things that need to be done in a concentrated enough window that you avoid all of the distractions. And some of those distractions are colleagues, some of those distractions are channels that you keep open, that keep on calling your name, like LinkedIn or your Outlook or your phone and your video feeds. When you remove all of those distractions because you know what you need to get focused on, you get so much more done in a day. And when you are organized and you are focused, those two things combine together to help to be able to elevate you above the net average performance of recruiters to start to achieve that greatness. And then lastly, on my list is resilience. Now, I'm not talking about the resilience that's required to be able to deal with rejection or negative outcomes. Like, good recruiters can emotionally detach themselves from that and focus on the process. I'm talking about the resilience that is required to work with the consistency of following said processes, because it does take resilience to keep on doing things to the right standards. I think it's human nature to allow ourselves to get distracted from what we know is the right practices and to find our own shortcuts. And I know from speaking to so many experienced consultants that often the challenge is, when they feel like the results aren't in line with what they were expecting, it's because they have moved away from what some would call the fundamental basics that I would call the job. It's just the job. And if you see it as being the basics, and therefore as you grow, you feel that you can leave the basics behind and start to adopt the intermediate or the advanced, those just become your corner cuts of what it actually takes consistently to deliver good results. And it takes resilience to be able to do that. Like, just think how many rookies today are making that decision that I've been with my business long enough now, I've been doing this job long enough now, that I no longer need that checklist. I no longer need to use that form when I'm qualifying a client. I no longer need to use this checklist when I'm onboarding a customer. I no longer need to use that email audit checklist to make sure that what I'm sending is going to have the impact that I require. Because they've decided that experience is now kicking in, and experience is going to start to replace process and structure. And initially they still do things to the same standard as the checklists and the forms help them to be able to do it. But over time it gets eroded. And it erodes at a rate that they don't realize that the erosion is taking place until the results start to show that something is missing. And that becomes the moment that they say out loud to everybody else, I'm going to have to go back to the basics. And it takes a little bit of resilience to be that person who, despite everyone else deciding, do you know what? I don't need that checklist. I don't need that form. I don't need to listen to my call recordings anymore. I don't need to do those things because I'm now good. It takes a little bit of resilience to be the one who is different, who is following a better methodology more consistently, whilst everyone else is allowing entropy to start to acid strip their ability to deliver high performing results. So in summary, those five competencies that I feel people bring who are successful at the beginning of their recruitment career, that curiosity, that discipline, that urgency, that emotional intelligence, that goal orientation. Those five things are so important in the early days. As somebody starts to prove their capability to grow, then they need to develop their organization skills. Their influence skills need to become sharper and more robust. Their focus needs to become tighter and tighter, because as they get busier, it becomes easier to get distracted. And as they get this perception that they're getting good, they get complacent and they get too involved in some of the office banter, which then means that they're not working with enough focus and they don't get as much stuff done. And they start to say, well, I'm getting the results, so I don't need to do the work. And it might be a 6-week lag between doing the work and getting the results. So in 6 weeks' time, that's when they're going to pay for the lack of focus that they've had for the last couple of weeks. And lastly, that resilience. The resilience to work with consistency, to ensure that they are doing fundamentally the core aspects of the job that contributed to their success in the first place. So competencies evolve, competencies grow. And we don't lose the first five. It's the second four that start to have a greater and greater influence on the next stage of our development. Otherwise, we could end up becoming that plateaued consultant who's doing, let's say, arbitrary numbers, 160K a year in margin, or 250K a year in margin, whatever the number is that based upon average placement value is kind of average for your business. And they get caught on that plateau and they start to blame other things outside of their control for the creation of the plateau, like clients or candidate behavior or an economy or a perception of a lack of training or whatever the things may be, when most common root cause of plateau is to stop growing and to stop developing and to stop enhancing those competencies that take us to the next level. So listen, folks, I said at the very beginning, it was pretty obvious that the title was going to be true. Great recruiters don't hatch out of eggs. I'd love to hear your thoughts, any comments that you've got, any feedback that there is that revolves around the initial five competencies that I've highlighted or the four competencies that it takes to be able to drive through to achieve that greatness. Let me know what you think. Thanks for listening, and remember, if there's anything I can do to help, just drop me a message.